Welcome back to the Challenge War of the Worlds, or Hop Up Podcast, for episode 9. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Alistair. Allie, how are you?
I am doing great, and I'm just grateful that nobody would ever describe me as attached to the groin, attached at the groin with anyone. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. I hope I'm not either. I think that's probably, that can't be a fun way to live. So no, I don't think anyone should be like that.
Is that not going to be a part of your marriage vows? Like, was that not part of the proposal? Will you make me the happiest man in the world and be attached at the groin with me for life?
Yeah, and that, she said no, and I had to redo it. And now that's how I got the yes on the second time.
Second time's the charm. Honestly, yep. Maybe one of the worst things to come out of this season from Ninja.
Yeah, considering her strengths is swinging back and forth and looking dominant in the challenges. I don't want her to be remembered for an offhand bad analogy.
Well, what bothers me about it, and like, God forbid we get right into the show, which we are. My God, pinch me. I don't know. It's, who am I? What am I, Jeremy now? But I'm like, I thought this was a bad look for Ninja. Like, I think Ninja is an incredible athlete, but in terms of like the social game we're seeing from her, it's like she has this problem with Polly being with Kara and is blaming like bad relationships with like communication between them. But am I crazy? They were winning all these challenges. Like, the less they knew of each other, the better they did.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing she could have a gripe with Paulie is just like the Kyle stuff being a constant like barrier. But that, I mean, would happen anyway, no matter how lovey-dovey or attached to the hip him and Kara were, just because of everything that happened previously. So I don't really understand what Paulie was not telling her, because they're not the most strategic players. They haven't been. They've been being physical players. So I don't know what she feels like he's been hiding from her.
Yeah, I really didn't love this throughout, you know, the first half of the episode, really, when she's kind of harping on, if Polly were single, we'd be doing so much better. It's just like not a great look. I mean, I'm sure there's I'm annoyed looking at Kara and Polly like the few times they're on the screen per week. I can't imagine. So maybe I should be more sympathetic. My heart goes out to Ninja for having to live in the house with it. But as far as it affecting your challenge performance, I mean, it feels a little jealous.
Yeah, and a couple of times they did the struggles. I mean, it was on her. Like, she fell off the tire, at least the one time that is now coming to mind. But the other times, I don't think it was anything to do with, like, their communication at all. So, yeah. So,
well, not a great look. If he were single, that wouldn't have happened.
Right. More attached to the tires.
Wow. Starting off the podcast, Allie, defending Carr and Polly. Woo! Can only go down from here.
Did Bear do anything great this episode you want to defend or not?
No, but I am going to come for Wes later, so.
Ooh, buckle up.
Is it opposite day? I thought Wednesdays are opposite day. I guess I watch this on a Wednesday.
The late April Fools.
I like to observe an April Fool's month, the entire month of
right.
April.
Right.
And then just pretty much is my whole life. Anyway, let's talk about this conversation between Maddie and Kyle here. Kyle is really not all right, Brian.
Yeah, he's not. He can't. He feels like he's a second-class citizen. He's ostracized. No one likes him. He's like, he's known to be the most fun person to ever be on the show, and he just can't be his like fun-loving ways with around the Polly and Kara.
I mean, I really relate to Kyle here. Like, I am the greatest, most fun, social person I know, and yet the phone doesn't ring. I don't understand. Like, yeah. No, Kyle just doesn't, like, maybe we've been seeing this coming from Kyle, like he's not gelling with the UK people. And really, I mean, it's more like his alliance has gotten sent home, the people he would be having fun with. So I don't know. I think Kyle needs to end the pity party here and just get over it.
Especially because this wasn't really set off by anything. I mean, they didn't have any big blow up fight. Like, they, no one else is like voting him in. Like, they weren't just coming off like so many eliminations in a row. It just seemed like they'd be sparked out of nothing. So like, I guess he's just having a bad day.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like on an island though. Cause like, who's he even with at this point while they're still teams? Like, he's not, I mean, it's debatable if he's in with Wes, right? When like Theo asked him that, he's definitely not in with Kara and Polly, and his whole alliance has gone home, and he's like trying to, I guess Nani maybe, but he just doesn't really have his squad. And despite being the most social, fun person in the house, Kyle is powerless without his squad.
Yeah, which one of these is not like the other? Kyle.
You gotta be feel for Maddie here a little bit. Like, he's been hooking up with Maddie. I guess that's not enough for him. Like, I kind of Maddie, I'd be like, I thought we were having fun. Me, you, no.
Is that still going on, or is that just like a one time thing?
I mean, they kissed on the bus in the last like night out we saw. So I mean, yeah, I mean, they're not like a long term relationship story on the show, but we've seen them canoodling again.
Right. Yeah, it's not making much of an impact either way.
Definitely not on his life, apparently.
No.
And then we did get Cam saying she's motivated to win because she wants to bring her mom in, and that's motivation enough. And they zero in on targeting Wes. So I guess this is, I mean, Cam's always really been committed to the UK alliance, and this is just like them vocalizing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's committed to it as long as, like, it's good for her. And then at this point, it was still good for her. I think if she made it longer and it was more individual, then maybe she would venture off if that seed her fit. But she always good. She is good at, like, getting in where the numbers are good.
Yeah, and then we get the worst thing to ever happen. And we thought this was maybe our after-show correspondent editorializing here. But no, he was not. Hunter did say that he was going to be a sociopath towards Georgia.
The fact that he has to describe being nice to that level of an extreme, how much more does like Hunter have to do? Is Hunter liked amongst the challenge community, or like in our, in our circle he's not, but like, do you think he's liked in the normals?
I'm sorry, is our circle me and you?
Yeah, like the drunk ad brigade. I feel like he's not. I see the comments. No one likes Hunter. He's canceled more times than like anyone. But like
the dad,
do normal people? Yeah, do normal people like Hunter? Do they fall for his like good old country boy shtick?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's interesting. Next week I'll try to remember to go on to like the challenge Facebook page and see what I can dig up. But like, I mean, Hunter is. I feel like he's like tofu, like he takes on the flavor of the things he's around. Like, I feel like when Hunter's with the young
killer bucks, tofu,
he's more like likable or rootable, at least like slightly to me. But Hunter on his own is just tasteless and flimsy and horrible. Like, he just, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was gonna say he's only likable because he's around Corey and Nelson. So like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Comparison, like, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
But like when he's around Wes and we love Wes, it's like, oh, I guess it wasn't that great this episode, but normally we like Wes, so it's like, oh, look at this Hunter guy.
Well, but that's the thing, right? Like, this is totally Wes's advice, and the thing that he thinks, okay, I'm going to carry this secret grudge against my partner and absolutely hate her but kill her with kindness, and that's the ticket. Like, it just is so unnecessary. Like, what happened is so small between them. And we got a lot of questions about this. So, like, to set it up in a very how to lose a guy in 10 days style, they go to a fake couples therapy with Wes, where Hunter produces, like, a very rehearsed apology. But, I mean, some people quibbled with this. It happened to come off like a very sincere apology. And I don't think Georgia has any reason not to believe it, especially considering that they were so close before this incident.
Yeah, especially as you said, it was such a kind of like a thing you can get over kind of quickly, that as long as he just showed any level of remorse, like, I mean, they are teammates. Like, if they were like not with each other, then either both of them can kind of go their separate ways. But at this point, even if you fake it, as even Hunter's doing here, maybe Georgia's doing it also, they just have to fake it to like be nice to each other because they need each other.
Well, I'm most interested to see, I mean, jumping ahead, what happens with Hunter and Georgia now that it's an individual game, because Hunter's an idiot. Like, Hunter needs Georgia. I think like anyone with a connection to the UK in an individual game needs to try to hang on to that as much as you can. And Hunter, unsurprisingly, is an idiot. Jeremy Barton says, what's worse, Hunter's, quote, acting like a psychopath or Georgia falling for it?
I mean, Hunter, for sure, because if you have to just to be nice to someone, to go to that level, like, just be nice to someone. It doesn't have to be a whole elaborate you being a sociopath thing. Like, relax with the acting. Just be, you're being a nice person. It's not that you don't get that much of a pat on the back.
God, anybody who says and the Oscar goes to after something that's on MTV always, like, or any reality show, it's always getting the eye roll of the century for me. Like,
wow, that was shade to Caitlyn. Jeez, I don't appreciate that on this podcast. No, we're a Caitlyn stan podcast.
It was shade to literally everyone. I am not a Caitlyn stan. I have been on the record on the Big Brother podcast as not enjoying Caitlyn.
Plainview Hawks stick together.
That's so. So you're a Caitlyn stan. This is not a Caitlyn stan podcast.
All right, fine. I get the half of the idol. You get the other half. We'll work our way back to each other eventually.
All right, guys. I'm going to be a sociopath, and I'm going to mend this huge gap with Brian by pretending to be nice for the rest of my life so the team can stick together. Brian, you know what? You're the best podcasting partner, and I'm so sorry for what I said about not standing Caitlyn.
Oh, thanks. I believe every word you're saying.
It is funny, though, that this is coming off the heels of, like, Bear's fake apology and Hunt Georgia, like, falling for that. So, like, if she's going to fall for Bear's, like, completely bullshit apology. And I went back and I watched the clip of her listening in on that call. Like, the fact that Bear's apology made up for that is crazy. But also, I'm sure I've done worse. Mm-hmm. So, like, whatever. But of course, Georgia's going to believe a sincere apology over absolutely nothing when her money's on the line and being a partner. Anyway, Hunter sucks. The Dabs have declared. Mike Christensen says, did Georgia actually buy Hunter's act? It seemed obviously transparent on Hunter's part, and it seemed like they were cutting Georgia's confessionals oddly, but that she didn't actually believe him, but was just being an agreeable partner for the sake of the team.
I think she did believe it, but I also think part of it was probably just being agreeable, because it doesn't do much good to shoot him down more if he's at least faking to try to be nice. So you might as well go along with it. But I think in the end, she probably did believe it.
Again, like, what is the problem? Like, it was a drunken fight, whatever. Hunter said, like, I'm going to stay out of your business. They have to work together. Who cares? Like, I don't understand why she wouldn't accept his apology. Like, I don't understand, like, why this is an impressive sociopathic move on Hunter's part. I don't understand why Georgia shouldn't accept his apology. Like, I'm looking at the situation. I'm like, nothing happened between them, and they resolved it in the sober light of day. Congratulations to Hunter for pulling off the ruse of the century.
I would like to see Wes tackle other feuding teams. And even just like he's not on the next season, he just like comes on. He pops on. It's like, all right, it's Wes counseling hour, and all the teams kind of go in and try to work through their business. I can get on board with that new career path for Wes.
It was very interesting what Wes said later in the show, that like, okay, Hunter's trying to like channel me with this manipulative move, but like, it's actually not having the result he thinks it is. I thought that was everything Hunter's done this season. Like, this sociopath move, like, it's about as impressive. Like, Cam's scheme to get Jose and Davon in elimination last season is more impressive than this. Like, again, it's just like,
right,
who cares? Nothing happened, and you apologize to your partner. Brilliant. So yeah, Wes, I mean, I guess kudos for Wes for tricking Hunter to find a way to like get along with Georgia. Like, that's the real manipulation, is Hunter's like, or Wes is like, all right, I got to take this crazy person and get him to be nice to his partner. So I'm going to tell him this is a master manipulative move against this woman, and you'll look like the king and you'll know the truth, but you'll work together flawlessly and help me get to the final.
Do you think this Hunter Wes duo will continue into another season, or is this just like because they both had no one else? Or do you think on another season with a bigger group, they'll stick with each other?
I think this is going to continue. I mean, part of it is from social media. Like, I've seen them do like videos together, but I also think like it's both, right? I still don't think Wes has anyone in a later season. Like, I don't think any combination of people could get cast on the next season and Wes wouldn't need Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess it's more so, do you think Hunter will stick with Wes? I guess he probably would.
I mean, Hunter's willing basically to go into an elimination to save Wes, who he has almost no connection to. Like, you know, like, why wouldn't you want to weaponize Hunter?
Yeah. I think it's probably right.
I mean, if the Young Bucks are there, and, well, because a part of it is, like, Amanda and Ashley. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if there was ever a scenario where it was, like, full-on Lavender Ladies and the Young Bucks, is there a place for Wes there with Hunter, or would Hunter bury himself into that situation? I mean, I still think Hunter chooses Wes over any of the women that he's ever been aligned with. And Wes is a welcome addition to Corey and Nelson's bullshit too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess if push came to shove and you had to choose between the two, that's where things can get interesting. But yeah, in the beginning, I think they would probably stick together.
Let's talk about this challenge again. Not quite monster truck, but close. This gave me a major Road Rules vibes with the skulls on the trucks. I mean, on the buses.
Yeah. Even the name, like Road Warrior, kind of like fit in with the Road Rules, almost sounds like it. But yeah.
Did you like this challenge?
Yeah, I did. The partners swinging back and forth, having to put exchange rings back and forth. I think they said there were 16 total. Yeah, it was good. Not much strategy like to kind of like critique. I think it's kind of just like either you can, you know, use momentum and jump and, you know, exchange a ring or not. There's not much to critique there. But yeah, I found it entertaining.
I couldn't have been more bored by this. To the point where Jonathan Foreman was over watching this and the fire alarm in my building went off, which then stopped us from watching. He went home and I watched like today. And I was, you know, not that upset. Like, it was just, I was just like, I get it. It was cool. It's always cool to see the like establishing shot, to see, you know, everyone walk in, TJ there, these like sick trucks. And it looks death-defying. I don't want to do it. It looks insane, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But by the third team, like, I get it. The rings, they're all getting 16. Wes and D suck. You know, they drop a ring here and there and here are the winners. Like, I just, this did not work for me. By the eighth time I had to see it.
Yeah, I just appreciate them like really sticking to like this theme of like, you know, in the desert with like the war and the trucks and just like explosions. So I appreciate them kind of going all out with this.
Yeah, that's cool. Like that, but then you lose like that. Like I'm in it. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, ooh, Road Rules vibes. Like, ooh, like this excitement and TJ's there and he knows like, hey, you could die doing this. Yeah, man. Like I that's great. And then after. I lost track too. Like, okay, Kyle and Maddie get 16. And then I was sort of like, okay, everyone's seeming to get like 16 or 17, what, like all the rings. Wes and D suck. I got that.
Yep, they definitely did suck. Bear also sucked just by being annoying.
Any other takeaways from the challenge? I mean, you might have gotten more out of it than I did before we get into what we need to get into.
Not even the challenge, just Kara just being just typical Kara annoying, like, yelling at Paulie, oh, you look great in like the harness, and then just out of absolutely nowhere, like complimenting him in bed. It's just like stop. Like, we don't need to, you don't need to keep, we know you're in love. Just like stop talking about it.
What's worse, this season with them or like all the virgin stuff about Colton on The Bachelor?
Oh, I'll take the virgin stuff. I don't know. I gotta kick. I like all the twists and turns of that. I was in on it. This just makes me want to puke. Yeah, all the different variants of the jokes. I appreciate them.
Okay. So I'm glad to hear someone does. So
I'm simple-minded with my humor sometimes.
All right, let's talk about this Wes versus Devon thing. So, like, a clip of this dropped, and then Twitter went crazy. The devil works hard, but I work harder. I was reading all of this yesterday before the episode aired, and I was like, all right, I'm here with my little magnifying glass and my spy hat emoji, like, I'm ready to watch this and watch Wes totally be wrong based on the tweets. Unfortunately, I think there's a little more nuance here than what I originally expected. So have you seen, did you like see the feud happening?
No.
Where should we start? I went in. Should we start with the episode or should we start with the setup of the pre-episode Twitter?
So the pre-episode Twitter was just like the backlash of what we saw in the episode. So I guess start with the episode and then kind of circle back.
Okay. Well, actually, I asked you an unfair question because, like, how can you say when you haven't seen the pre-episode Twitter? But you're right. I think it makes more sense to read it after we talk about it. But what is important is, like, there was a discrepancy between Devon and Wes about what was said and what would be shown. So they showed the clip. Wes is accusing Devon of having said something that didn't make air. And the Twitter drama was essentially teed up to say, well, let's see what happens on the episode and let's see what aired. Okay.
Got it. You know, it's funny because I did see a few things of like Wes racist type thing. And I was like, I didn't catch that at all in the episode. So now I think I'm finally going to start to get the backstory behind that.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. So what Wes accuses, Wes accused Dave on of saying, I'm going to get my boys from back home to kill you. And that's what Wes is claiming prompted him to say that you're a horrible role model for your kid. Okay. So the racial aspect, and I'll read the tweet, is that Dave on is like, I don't speak like that. I've never said, quote, my boys. And like, of course, because I'm black, you're saying I said that. Okay. So let's get to the episode. And let's talk about what we saw on the TV, and then I'll read the tweets.
Okay.
I have a quote of what I expect you to say here. So basically, all right, so Bear is annoying. Wes and D suck. Bear starts screaming, calling them losers.
Right. Yep.
Davon starts bringing up from last week. Wes told you told someone to put their foot in my face.
Foot in face.
Now, have Wes that. Says, almost inexplicably, well, someone needed to do that because you guys suck at elimination. Really, Wes? Like, if they suck at elimination, you don't need to put your foot in their face. Like, you just win because they suck.
Yeah, not the best comeback. I think it was kind of like reaching for something.
And then Davon says, I'll make sure there's a knee in your ribs and your face when this is over. I had to go back and watch it twice.
It's a better comeback.
And then, well, I think that's the most similar thing to what Wes is claiming. Like, obviously, that is not what Wes said she said, but she does say, I'll arrange her knee into your ribs and face after the show. And then Wes says, wow, you're not a good role model for your daughter. What's your reaction to this?
So, I mean, it's obviously not like the best thing to say, but like, it's not the worst thing we've ever heard on this show. And so I mean, well, is it a great
really
look
a standard to measure anything against? Like, it's not even close to what Bananas has said, so like, it's fine.
I mean, no, but it's also not like in the heat of a moment, if you're trying to get under someone's skin and you want to like dig it with them where they hurt the most, like that's where Wes is gonna go. So I don't know, I'm very not that like sensitive to these type of things, that like I don't think Wes being that much blowback. I mean, it's not the best thing to say, but like I don't know. I think you can move on pretty quickly.
I mean, look, I thought you were going to say, quote, bad job by Wes.
I mean, yeah, it's not,
like, that's what this screams, like, I would, as a review from Brian.
I mean, I would hope for better from Wes, but like, I don't like that again, like that. I don't know. You're not a good role model for your kid. Like if you're Davon, be like, all right, I know I'm a great role model, so screw you. And then like, that's like the end of it. So yeah, I don't know.
Davon has big brother history for blowing up on Polly for something similar. And look, here's the thing. I mean, you're exactly right when you say this is the thing that's going to cut her the worst. I like hope at some point it's like reminds me of the Devin and Banana situation. Like, let's maybe like not reach for the thing that's going to like absolutely cut the person the most. Like, I don't know. I the thing with this is it's lazy. It's like, okay, so here's a mother who's slinging mud like you are, you know, you're saying shit to her and she's saying shit to you, and you're both threatening physical shit against each other. And so like all of a sudden, because she's a mom, she can't be doing that. That's what's annoying about it. Like, okay, doesn't Wes have a kid?
Does he really?
He's married. He doesn't have a kid. Maybe he doesn't have a kid. But like, okay, if Wes had a kid, would he be acting differently? Or is Wes never planning to have a kid? Because like, you're not a role model either. You know, like it just, I don't know. It just seems like such a low blow. And Connor Rita wrote to us, what did you think of Wes and Davon's situation? I've seen several people bring up that she's a bad mom, but people don't say the same thing to people like Corey and Brad. Kari did say it once about Tony, but that was one time. And like, that's the point, right? Is like, okay, a woman is standing up to you and saying shit that you're saying. You're both in the wrong. And then you're like, oh, wow, that like you're a great role model, Davon, to your daughter. Like, what's okay? You know, like I can understand why that would hurt someone who might be sensitive about how they're being portrayed on TV. She's away from her daughter. People say shit like that all the time to her online and in person. Like, oh, if you were a good mom, you wouldn't come on the challenge and leave your kid. And I just think it's lazy and it's hypocritical. Like, you're saying the same shit, Wes. And I think that's what we see on Twitter. Like, I'll get to the tweets, but like, Wes is so determined to justify that he said that by saying, in the way you're saying, like, it's not that big of a deal, we should just move on. Like, Wes should just squash it. It should just be over. Like, I shouldn't have said that, but she said some shit, I said some shit, and we, like, I texted her and we moved on. You know, like that kind of thing. But yeah. he's now like being adamant that she said this thing, like, my boys are going to come kill you. And he claims it wasn't aired. Nobody is that I've seen is verifying that he said that she said that. And it's like, all right, just drop it. Like, she didn't say, she said something threatening. He also said someone needs to put a foot in your face. You know, like, they just stop mm-hmm. it. All right. So here's the stuff. So, yeah, I said, Wes said, Davon, I'm going to get my boys from back home to kill you. Wes said, wow, you're a horrible role model for your kid. Internet somehow split as to who is wrong. Facepalm emoji. FYI, she apologized to me, so I've moved on. I appreciated her acknowledging when she acted like a bad role model, like clap emoji. And that sounds like, no, you're just perpetuating it, Wes, and it's annoying. So, so somebody wrote a rule, said, this ain't it. We've never heard her say she's going to get someone home to kill you in that clip. Apologize, please, and thanks. Wes said, you don't hear it because what she said is too violent to air on TV and kind of illegal. Like I've said, I've moved on and have decided not to press charges. I already received my heartfelt apology and think most of the time she's a magnificent role model to her child. And this is where he loses me. So maybe I was tainted by looking at this and then watching the show. Mm-hmm. Davon said, you're a damn liar, exclamation point. And Wes said, fine, I guess I take back the role model comment, shrug emoji. And then Davon said, that's why some of these people don't like me. I'm not afraid to stand up to none of them. I'm not kissing anybody's ass. I don't care how many seasons you've done, what you've won, if you ain't shit as a human, all of those wins means nothing. And somebody tweeted at D, like, honestly, what did Davon say? And D says, I honestly can't remember. I was there when they were arguing. I always have my partner's back. And there's one thing that I will bet on is that Wes is not a liar. Regardless, things are said when we're heated and angry. I don't think we should dwell on it. So to me, that's, no, Davon did not say that.
Yeah, and I'm just not going to throw my partner under the bus.
I don't remember. Please. So then Davon said, really, D? You know damn well I didn't say that to him. If I did, then why, when we talked to you, kept apologizing for what he said to me and how you don't stand by the things he said to me? And honestly, Wes's thing of, like, they wouldn't air it, that's just as violent as what was aired. You know, like, they would air that.
Yeah, probably. This is just such a weird hill for Wes to die on. Like, yeah, just let this go. Like, even if you're right, it's a losing battle. Just drop it.
And then Davon said, in quotes, decided not to press charges. I ... a whole ass clown. Clown emoji. GIF of Shaq laughing. And then she said, quote, my boys, I don't even talk like that. A million laugh cry emojis. Listen, y'all know me. And if I would have said that, I would have admitted it. And then she said, oh, wow, you really are trash, SMH. I thought you were just like this is the game. I didn't know you were literally garbage as a human, quote, my boys, LOL, SMH, the footage is out. They've seen exactly what I said to you. And then, da-da-da. Yeah, so then she said, LOL, he's digging a bigger hole talking about, quote, my boys. What hood movie did he watch and tried to attach me to? Laugh cry emojis. If you don't get on somewhere. And then she said, this killed me, in response to D, how the hell you know everything about Shailene but can't remember an argument that you were a part of? Throw the whole brain away. And D said, I'm not saying that what he said was right. I just said I can't remember if you said what you did to him. Neither of you guys are right in the situation, but I do have my partner's back, like how you have Bear's. Closed mouth eyebrow raise emoji.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Davon said, you're gonna stand firm on this, quote, I can't remember bullshit, knowing we're gonna see the footage tonight and some have already saw what I said. You were right there. You can't remember everything Bear said, did word for word. You can remember everything Bear said, did word for word, but you can't remember this. And D said, definitely going to stand firm. I can't remember. Jesus, put it to bed and let's play the tape tonight. Skull emoji. And then some listener said, it's easy not to remember something that wasn't said. And then after the episode, Davon tweeted, when you never said the words, quote, my boys, or quote, kill, money bag emoji, kid dancing on a chair gif. And then this is ridiculous. Wes tweeted screen caps of Davon's Twitter. And he said, this is what they call a pattern of violent threats to cast members outside of the game. And exactly what she did to me in person. When someone talks like this to someone, you're allowed to say whatever you want back. That's just the rules of life. And it's screen caps. Davon responded, it's screen caps with the date removed. Although it says 8 minutes and 7 minutes ago. And she said, all I'm going to say is I've talked so many people out of showing up at that reunion to kick his ass. Nobody knows who my relatives are. So unless they decline every black man from coming, my male cousins will be present. Let me see how many bitches you call them. Shrug emoji. Since you're too proud of your behavior, I'm going to allow you to really go head up with some men. Keep all that energy, champ. And Davon said, SMH, those screenshots are from October and were directed to Shane. The profile picture isn't even the same. How stupid can people be? So again, like, Wes just...
Well, I mean, that's not a... I mean, the fact that she did say that to someone is not, like... I mean, she said she would never say something like that, and she kind of did say something like that.
I think what she was saying is, I never, like, spoke like my boys, that kind of thing.
I guess so, but like, I mean, her thing was like, I would never like say that and threaten that. And I mean, she did like 6 months ago, so that's not the best look.
I just kind of think it's like, Wes said something bad, she said something bad. We don't need to like go put Davon on trial because you said something you shouldn't have said and she said something you shouldn't have said. Like, it should just be over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is like one of the stupidest arguments I've taken on this many legs. Like, everyone just needs to move on. Like, this is like such a deep, like he said, she said, of like nothingness. Like, who cares? Like, I can't believe both of them are taking this as personal.
Speaking of who cares, let's talk about the tribunal.
Yeah, I guess we should tell the three winners we got. And he's like, were you surprised by any of the big three?
No. Because again, I wasn't caring at all about the challenge.
Right, Kyle, Maddie, Hunter, Georgia, and Cara and Theo as the third.
What's so weird to me is like the way the vote happened, and the voting strategy this episode is one of the most puzzling votes we've had all season.
Yeah. So what they didn't make super clear, which I kind of forgot until like kind of all the dust settled, is there was really only four teams to pick from. So like, there really weren't that many options to even go into it. So like, it wasn't that much of like a full on deliberation, because there was just one team that wasn't going to be picked.
Say that again.
So there was only four teams to pick, but to select three from. So like, they're like going around, like, who were we going to pick? Who were we going to pick? Like, it was only, I mean, there's very few options to even pick.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what's interesting about, like, we've talked before that if you have the relic, should you throw the challenge? Like, no, but it's still interesting when the person with the relic doesn't win and then it knocks out another team. So now four teams are not eligible.
Yeah. And this was kind of like the perfect scenario where there was so, like, as we'll see, like, the next week, there's no more teams, but this is the last week with like the fewest amount of possible teams to be chosen from.
Are we still okay with like Hunter picking Turbo and Nani when you're down to this few? And then let's talk about the strategy that Hunter was willing to tie it up rather than vote in Paulie and Natalie. Like, to me, with this tribunal, I was stunned that the vote wasn't going to automatically go to Paulie and Ninja.
Yeah, so Hunter choosing Turbo and Nani as like his vote, I don't have much of a problem with. But then him willing to sacrifice his game because he didn't want to make a decision was just mind-boggling.
I don't get it. And then I'm also sort of like, why is Wes letting this happen? Like, in a way, we think Wes completely controls Hunter, but like, there's no way that this was Wes's preferred outcome of this happening, unless it truly was. And I don't give Hunter enough credit for this. Like, it truly was like knowing that Georgia would crack and throwing your partner under the bus. And then it also goes to the question of, do they know, are they anticipating that they're going to split up? Because nobody seemed that surprised. And why would you want your partner to take the blame over you if you weren't completely anticipating that this was going to become an individual game?
Yeah, that's like the more interesting part, because I don't know like what they would have gotten to have any sort of sense that they would split up. Because, I mean, in most seasons where you're paired with like a rival or an ex, that goes to the end. Like, it's very rare unless it's laid out like in Free Agents from the beginning where you're going to be bouncing between teams and individual and stuff. So I would be surprised if they sense this coming because I don't know why they would.
I forget what we talked about last week that like gave, or 2 weeks ago, I don't even know, that gave an indication to me that they also thought this would be individual. Maybe it is the individual voting that tipped them off.
Right.
Because maybe. What's the significance of that? That doesn't come back to bite you. I don't know. I'm confused at why Hunter is willing to go to Rocks for all of these people. I think at some point, like, I'm not used to Hunter playing scared. And I, you know, at me with Hunter's retrospective, I don't care. But to me, Hunter is somebody who's like willing to make enemies. So the fact that he would rather go into an elimination against a good competitor because his choices are all good competitors. I mean, he was, I guess, mm-hmm. planning to go against Ashley and Cam. But you'd rather do that in what you can see is a puzzle challenge and risk right. that than you would making an enemy of Pauly and Ninja, who you have the ultimate meat shield in Kyle, because Pauly's still going to be angrier at Kyle than you.
Yeah, and it's the ultimate shield of, like, I have my number one in Wes and the person I'm hooking up with in Nani, so I just can't say either of them, so I'm just forced to say you. That's like the ultimate, like, I just had to do it scenario.
And Pauly's not offering him anything. It's not like we see a conversation right. where Pauly's like, look, Hunter, like, I know you're with Wes, but like, look, I have Kara. I could have your back. I've been winning these challenges. You know, like, we don't see any appeal. It's just like Hunter's playing completely nope. scared, but in a weird way, he's also playing stupidly brave. Like, he's like willing to go in. I was almost a little upset that Georgia cracked, and maybe we're not giving him enough credit because he knew Georgia would crack if that was truly his goal. But I'm not, because in that case, it's kind of brilliant, right? You don't crack, your partner cracks, and you know it's going to be an individual game. Best case scenario for Hunter, although nobody buys it, right? Everyone still knows his alliances. Everybody still knows he's not more loyal to Pauly than he is to Wes, whatever. I don't know. I just got myself in a twist here.
Yeah, but honestly, good for Georgia for like being like, no, I'm not going to be an idiot like my partner. I'm going to do, even though it may come back to bite me, I'm going to be the smart one and save our team. So I'm going to, yes, I'll take one for the team. And hopefully people see through Hunter for the cowardice that he's being.
But I'm a little disappointed it didn't go to a tie, because I think that would have been more interesting. I think I really want to know what would have happened. And I think it would have been amazing if it was another Zach Amanda situation and Hunter and Georgia went home over it.
Right. Yeah. It would have. Yeah. Especially because it's probably the last chance we're going to see what would happen with it going to individuals. So we probably will never know now.
Because Hunter is going to take credit for playing Georgia into this. And now they're not partners. But I did love like the lengthy montage of everybody saying how stupid Hunter is.
Yeah, that was very enjoyable.
Okay, so let's talk about the hearing. I actually thought this was the best hearing we've had, and maybe it's a product of us not having a night out or not really having much happen in the episode, but this is kind of what I wanted the hearing to be. Like, we get some information, we get directed questions, and nobody like throws a temper tantrum.
Yeah, all led by Theo. I think he was the driving force. Like, even before anyone walked in, he was like on a mission to find out everyone's number one. I feel like I would have been nice to almost have like a confessional from him being like, all right, in this one, I'm going to really try to get information out of people. I want to see where everyone stands. Cause he had a point that asked, like, oh, basically everyone that walked in there, like, who's your number one?
Yeah. And I mean, I think, and then he was using that information when the other people came in, like, okay, Pauly, Wes said Hunter's his number one. So what do you think about that? Like, I was very impressed with Theo here. And I think this is sort of, he was a strategist on Love Island when that show frowns against strategizing. So this is sort of Theo's better venue, better forum here. And I think I was really impressed by him.
Totally.
So yeah, no surprise answers though. I mean, were you surprised that Wes cops to Hunter being his number one and doesn't sort of beat around the bush? Or is that kind of the right move for him to do at this point?
Yeah, I think that kind of fits Wes. He's good at being honest where it would be it would be clear that he's lying, and then he holds stuff back where it could be detrimental to tell the truth. So everyone knows he's with Hunter, so he might as well say that and then hold everything else back.
Yeah, I think in this case, I think it was, to your point, like, it would have been really obvious that he was lying, but also, like, we do get a little snippet of him saying, okay, I think Hunter might be the swing vote, and Hunter appreciates loyalty, and this is a direct appeal to Hunter to say in front of everyone, right, you're my number one. And again, we see Pauly and Kyle having fun with their tension, and Kara not.
Of course, because Kara's there as the ultimate buzzkill.
God damn it. And then Nani and Ninja, I mean, nothing super new to report there.
No, not really.
Not Nani and Ninja, I'm sorry. Nani and Turbo.
Yeah.
We need to talk about the old guard, new guard, head-to-head matchup in this conversation, battle of wits between Wes and Pauly.
Yeah, so this was just, and I feel like they were both trying to use a little bit like reverse psychology on each other, and then like maybe Pauly just didn't understand that, because I think that's kind of where Wes was going for, but I don't think it's sunk in with Pauly. I don't know. It was very odd the way Wes was pitching himself.
Well, first Pauly said it, and then Wes repeated it, which was weird. And then Wes also had a tweet I didn't pull because it annoyed me. Like, he's now sort of taking credit. Like, Pauly is the one who said, like, look, I'm the one with nothing to lose. If I lose to you, I'm fine with that. And if I beat you, that's awesome. And then Wes is like, yeah, I'm a trophy. I'm an instant resume. That's what he tweeted. He like,
right.
I don't know. Like,
but that's the thing. Why? It was weird that he like agreed with it. I feel like that's something you'd be like, no, like you should want me on like your side. Like Pauly's making the pitch like why you should take him out. I feel like it's weird that Wes would add to the pitch. Like, I feel like you should be like, no, like that's not the case and you should do XYZ.
Well, I think Wes is, so I was really impressed with Pauly here because I thought this would have been effective as like, you don't want to see me, you don't want me sent to the killing floor because I have no qualms and no hesitations of getting you out because I'm not even afraid to lose to you. Like, I think that's a powerful pitch from Pauly, so I was pretty impressed with that. I think Wes's best response, like you were saying before, sort of like, Wes can't really pitch himself to Pauly here. Like, they clearly haven't been working together. And now all of a sudden, when his back's against the wall, he's like, look, man, like, we could work something out. Like, I don't know that that's going to work. I think Wes, while it's strange, I think his best play is to just appear intimidating, like, hope Pauly's bluffing and, like, call the bluff and be like, yeah, I am a trophy and I'm a legend for a reason. Like, go ahead. You know, like, I'm not afraid, and in me not being afraid, I intimidate you into being afraid. Or maybe Wes, you know, D was like, look, I'm working on Ninja, and Ninja's not going to put us in. So maybe he's just like, I'm not going to rock the boat any further.
Yeah, honestly, that was the play. It wasn't anything that Wes could or could not do. It was D. And I think D clearly kept them out of that elimination because Ninja stood her ground in the voting, and that's why they stayed out. It wasn't anything that Wes did. It was 100% D and Ninja.
Yeah, and I was pretty pissed because the whole episode was very much like, especially with Wes and D and Ninja and Pauly, a lot of the conversation is like Pauly and Wes and then, oh, their partners who are seen and not heard. You know, it's just like, and they vote like that. They're like, I'm going to support my partner no matter what. And that's like D on Twitter. So I was really happy to see like their relationship explained and Ninja really go to bat for what was best for her, which then I think she gets rewarded for in the fact that now it's an individual game. And it's probably the first time she really spoke up against Pauly.
Yeah. And she picked the perfect time to do it and really stood her ground. And they both paid dividends.
Should Nani have done more? We see Nani say to Kyle and Hunter sort of like, look, you play your game, do what you got to do. And that's really it. Should she have worked harder?
I don't know. That's weird. It's more so like, why wouldn't Nani just go to Hunter and be like, all right, fine, you wanted to vote for me. I get that. But then like, when it comes down to the vote, like you should go after Pauly. Like you shouldn't be sacrificing yourself for me. Like you see vote the team that should be going in there. Like that's almost where like Nani could have knocked some sense in the Hunter.
Yeah. I mean, I do like this, the quote we get from Nani of like, I don't want to be dependent on Hunter. Like, I wonder if Nani is self-conscious about her reputation for sort of like being with bananas or being, you know, like being not carried, because I think Nani has a reputation of her own. But I mean, it's
attached to the groin. Right.
Yeah, like I think like Nani is known as a competitor, but she's also known as somebody who like gets in relationships with physical players, whatever. And like, maybe she's more like concerned about that, not wanting to come off relying on Hunter, also knowing Hunter's a complete crazy person and not wanting to attach her groin to him. But in the game, so to speak. So right. Maybe she was just sort of like, do what you got to do and I'll win my way out. Or maybe she knows Hunter can't be told shit, especially not by a woman. And it wouldn't be helpful to say anything to him because he's crazy. And let him go home. Yeah, let him go in and go home. Sure.
Yeah, totally. That's always the case with Hunter.
All right. So when we get to the killing floor and we see this setup, my first reaction was like, okay, Cam and Ashley have to be the people you want to go against. And what's interesting is they're the ones not getting any play or talk about who, like, that they would go in.
Well, we didn't get a lot of, yeah, I mean, the only talk we had about who would be voted, it was just Paula going after Wes. There was no real other talk amongst any other targets, right? Like, I don't think there were any other targets even talked about.
I mean, so, aren't they the only options? It was
No, I mean, you could vote any of the other three.
Like, oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. But so. I mean, I think like for an episode, especially that Cam and Ashley go home on, we got very little time with them. Mm-hmm. Besides, like, I think Ashley or Cam said, like, OK, just because we're not nominated doesn't mean we can't go in. OK.
Right.
But I saw this and my first reaction was like the only team I would want to face who's left in this is Cam and Ashley.
Yeah, and again, actually, there really aren't even that many teams to choose from to go in. The three tribunal, Bear is safe, that's four. One team is in, so you only have three teams to even pick from. So yeah, so once again, the options were thin.
And then I was like, Hunter cannot come in and see this and say, yeah, Georgia and I are going to win this one, let's volunteer. Like this, Hunter and Georgia would have lost this challenge so quickly, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's no elimination that you should see ever and be like, all right, I'm going to go into this one. Because you just, I mean, yeah. You never know. You never know.
Sure. But certainly not this one if you're Hunter in Georgia.
Right. Totally.
But let's talk about the way the vote went. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter who voted for whom. But what was surprising to me is when they do the revote, Georgia sitting there and says, like, I really care about everyone. And Kara says, care about yourself. Which would then prompt her to flip to Polly. So did Kara persuade her to vote Polly in?
Yeah, I don't know. Kara, I think maybe Kara just wants to like kind of like be like female empowerment, like stick up for yourself type thing. I think maybe that's what she was going with. And then I guess Polly was the collateral damage. I don't know. That was odd.
I mean, the only person she could have voted for to save it from going to a tie is Polly.
Yeah.
So it was very bizarre because it was two Polly and Ninja and then a split between Kara and Thea, right? And then.
Yeah, I don't whoever she voted for.
Or maybe they both. Yeah, because Theo voted for Dia and Wes and Kara voted for Nani and Turbo. She did Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Turbo.
Right.
That's
a fun game.
Yeah. And then it pissed me off that he was like, oh, Georgia's emotionally weak. It's like Hunter can't even make a decision. Like there's nothing weaker than going to a tie because you're too afraid to ruffle feathers. And in that sense, you burn all of your bridges.
Yeah. So Hunter thinks being nice is a sociopath and being smart is emotionally weak. And that's really all you need to know about Hunter.
Should Polly have intervened here? Like, should Polly have said when it became a tie, like, I'll go in?
No, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't. Honestly, maybe if Kyle could have been the target, he would be like, all right, let me go in and take Kyle out. But maybe because Kyle wasn't an option, then he was going to try to like skate by again.
Yeah, maybe. I did like Kyle try to be like, Paul, you should just go in here. This looks like you could win it.
Without Carr, I do enjoy their like banter with each other. But with Carr, it's like very dark and depressing.
I was just gonna say Hunt Kara said voting for Nani and Turbo is the only way to save Polly, but that wasn't true, but that is true, so I'm glad that I thought the wrong thing and then said it. I don't know why I needed to explain. All right, are you surprised that Ninja was able to win out here with Polly and the decision, and also how much did it have to do with the fact that Ashley and Cam were probably the easier beat in this challenge anyway.
Yeah, I think probably. Well, I mean, I definitely think Pauly respects Ninja. Like, I think he respects her, like her thoughts. So I don't think he was going to like bulldoze her no matter what. And I think it just like her points made sense. Like, I think that was kind of the way to go anyway. So it kind of made it even easier.
So what did you think of the challenge Wheel of Death?
Yeah, certainly fit. I mean, kind of similar to like they've been really doing the whole like spinning around thing in elimination. Saw that last year with Jenna being tossed around like a bowling ball. So yeah, I liked it. I enjoy mixing things up. I don't need everything to be a headbanger. I like things that cater to different strengths and weaknesses. So yeah, I was fine. I don't need to see the zoom ins of Camp throwing up all over herself. That I could have probably done without. But other than that, it was good.
Wait, what? You mean Natalie and the bingo balls?
I was like,
I don't want to interrupt you because I don't care. Like, you could say whatever you want. I'd be like, yeah, that was definitely on last season, but I was confused. Okay. Yeah, I liked this challenge, although it completely only relied on one person. Like, I didn't love that. Like, yeah, okay. Like, it seemed like Ashley and Ninja executed at a similar level, and like, it completely relied on the person on the wheel. David Wisher says, has anyone ever TV barfed with as much coolness as Cam? It did remind me of Cheyenne's cute puke on Are You the One? Like, I loved watching Cam throw, but it was so badass. Like, I thought it was so cool watching her, like, not watching her puke, but being like, excuse me, bleh, and like continuing to go. Like, that's amazing. Like, she was that sick. Like, what if I've been that nauseous and that dizzy? Like, the fact that she came so close, I thought that was a legendary moment for Cam, even though she didn't win.
Yeah, I think this was almost a better performance than some of her wins. Like, she comes out of like a win and like doesn't like do much, or it's like an easy win, and she's like, you know, touting the Killer Cam thing. I thought this was very impressive. I mean, they missed it by one piece. Like, I got a little, one piece was kind of like turned the wrong way, so it's not like they got dominated by any stretch. So yeah, this was an impressive loss for Cam.
Jeffrey Goldstein said, did they try to trick us by really talking about Pauly a ton so we'd think he or Kara were going home?
No, I don't think NTV doesn't really do that. I guess there's some viewership pop. I mean, if anything, we got the viewership pop in the beginning with Cam talking about what you would do with the money, and then we see her not get the money. So.
And then Jeremy Barton said, should I feel shitty for rooting for Pauly and Natalie in the elimination?
No, I like Pauly. I'm very much enjoying him on the show, and I'm hoping he's a mainstay for many years.
I mean, I would say you should feel shitty because it keeps the Kara, Kyle, Pauly thing. Although Pauly leaving, I don't think would improve the situation between Kara and Kyle. I think Kara or Kyle have to leave. Like, No, you shouldn't feel shitty. But I did feel bad for Cam. Like, I really wasn't rooting for either team. I was fine with both of them. I would have liked both teams to stay. So, no, you can root for whoever you want.
No, I'm fine. A team went home. I'm definitely fine if one of them went home.
Well, sorry. There are other people I would have rather gone home. Like, I wouldn't have rather both teams stay, and then we don't have anyone go home. But I would have rather Hunter and Georgia gone home. I would have rather Kara or Kyle and Maddie, but more Kara and Theo. Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, people got to go. Yep. You could root for almost anyone. Not Barrett. Barrett and Davon, you can't root for.
Perfect.
Davon solo now, you can root for.
Yeah.
So they get the solo announcement, every man for themselves, a little like, bleh. Like, no, there was no pop and circumstance here for this big twist.
Yeah, that's a lot. I think you're right. I feel like maybe a producer let it slip like accidentally, because like this should be like a huge shift in the game, especially, I mean, there's what, seven teams, so there's 14 people left. Yeah, I don't know. The reaction was kind of weird. I mean, they get like go nuts when they find out they're going to like Switzerland on like a trip or something like that. So to find out this and like okay, cool, let's do it. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if they knew going in, like, if some of the vets were like, I don't want to be on, like, a pair team, I want to do individual, and they were like, it's going to be individual. I don't know, like, I don't know how any of this works. If anyone knows, let me know, because I feel like they had to have known. But even for the production side, for the viewer, like, this is the last relic. Oh, and by the way, it's also every man for themselves. Like, the last relic got more hype than the fact that this would be individual. And then we get the prize money. At this point, it's sort of like the money doesn't really matter to me. I mean, the breakdown is $750,000 for first place, second place 200K, third place gets 50. I don't know that that impacts anything that much. I think it's better. Like, it's more important when it's like first place gets money, nobody else gets anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of over the like the single sex winner elimination final. I kind of would rather them split it up and like have a final just be like whatever they do and not have to kind of like even it out or cater it to any way. Just I'd rather just be like three men, three women in the final and go from there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the final because I think for a few seasons now the final's been sort of broken. And it seems like the challenge has like really been improving. And like, you know, I think this season has been a return to at least the format we like. And like in terms of the episodes, the amount of episodes, I wonder if anything's changing for the final to make it more return to form or just improved. But maybe doesn't seem that way based on this. I agree with what you're saying. Felipe Shimon says, why can't they just have duos so Nani and Turbo can win together? I don't want another stupid puzzle deciding the winner of the season.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of wish they just keep the pairs. I think the pairs, that dynamic, it's such a big part of this season that it's kind of weird to split them up now. I would rather them just keep the pairs to the end.
I mean, I don't mind them splitting them up, but I'd like them to go back together. Like I wish the elimination where they were going to rearrange the pairs had paid off. Like I wish there was more pair switching. That would be cool. Like if right now they redrafted or something like that, that would be cool to me.
Yeah, or even do like another like a kind of how they started, do a challenge and then you pair them up like based on your finish, not even a draft, just how you finish your paired up. Like that would be kind of cool. Yeah, I don't like them just going individual here. I just think that kind of like it. I don't know. You have a certain game flow. I don't like them mixing it up. But challenge does a lot of things I don't like. So
all right, so
I'll ride with it.
We have some questions. Looking a little bit down the road, Tyler Morton Karibo says, "Who suffers the most from the team splits?" And Nathan Miller says, "Who is helped the most by it?" And then also, a question, sorry, Felipe Shimon said, can you order the people of who you'd most like to see win and who you'd least like to see win? So let's go down the line. Let's talk about the pairs, who benefits, who suffers, and are you rooting for them?
So it's funny. You mentioned like I think you said the UK is still like really strong. And I actually think this hurts them the most because I think there's not that many individuals of them in the game. They're each part of a team. And now that they're all split up, I think the UK is very hurt by this.
Well, let's look. I'm trying to look on Wikipedia. I want to see the order they finished, the order they drafted. Because I'd like to remember who finished in what order and like how strong the UK people were, at least in the first challenge. Because we don't really know how well they're going to do without their partners. I mean, Bear's probably a huge liability for their team now that he's not with Davon, because Davon was close with Paul. You know, like some people at least cared about. Well, Davon really saved him from both eliminations. So now on his own, I think he's easily beat by everybody left.
Because, I mean, the UK is really just Bear, Georgia, Theo, right?
Now that Ashley's gone, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they were four. They could have been four of the seven teams if they kept. They've actually won and they kept teams together. And now they're three of the 14 individuals. So that's like a gigantic change in their power.
But is that not better for them? Because now they're not such an obvious target. Like, okay,
yeah, I think they're still
some of the individuals. Like now, maybe Bear, while he's annoying, I mean, I still think he's gonna be targeted. But while he's annoying, he's probably the least athletic person left in the game.
But he's still so hated that he's going to be targeted.
I agree, but like if he wasn't so hated, like he's less of a target physically without Davon than he was with her. See what I'm saying? Like now for the UK is only three people, we don't need to be so worried about them. And let's start looking at athletic individuals. So now Theo is a bigger target, right? Like Ninja, like maybe Kara's gonna start going after Ninja because she's a tough female competitor and she's no longer attached to Polly. Like there are other bigger fish to fry potentially than just the UK block. So
yeah,
I agree their power's weakened, but maybe because they're not as big of a block anymore, they might fall under the radar. But yeah, Bear's the first going in for sure. But like
right. I guess now I'm curious, like, where do the people who were paired with the UK go? Like, I guess, like, obviously Wes and Hunter will stick together, but where do they, like, where their pairs go. Like where does Georgia stick with Bear? Who do they bring in? Like, I'm curious now, all the people who are with the UK, like Davon, like what does she do? Like, I assume she's not going to stick with Bear. So like now, where does she kind of fit in like all the other pockets?
I hesitate besides Georgia and Hunter. So really besides Hunter, I don't know that anybody's really going to want to go after their partner. I could see Ninja falling more into D, a relationship with Wes and D. But it's like, seems like D has been so blindly loyal to Wes and is probably suffering from like a first time player wanting to follow the veteran player. And where else is she really going to go? So I could maybe see Ninja going in with them, but I don't see her voting Polly in.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I guess we'll have to see how the voting goes, but I assume there'll be two eliminations an episode would be my guess. And then like, maybe everyone votes. Like, yeah, I mean, even like we still don't know exactly how the voting will go. So, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of uncertainties about how the back half of the season is going to go.
But let's just go really quickly through the pairs and say better or worse off. So Theo and Kara.
I'll say Theo worse, Kara better.
I think sort of neutral. Theo probably worse, Kara neutral. What are you? Because I don't know that they wouldn't vote Kara. Like that she's. I think she's kind of lost at least the UK votes. Like nobody really cares about her. I don't know. And then are you rooting for either of them?
I think I know. I like Theo. Theo. I'm starting to warm up to Theo. Kara. I can do without.
Davon and Bear. I think universally worse for Bear. Better for Davon.
Yeah. Definitely were. I mean, I guess it probably couldn't get worse for Bear. He's like always a target. So I guess maybe neutral, honestly, if people now view him as not much of a threat. And then Davon, yeah, I think better to not be definitely better not be attached to Bear.
And then you rooting. Well, we're not rooting for Bear. You rooting for Davon?
Yeah. Yeah. Not strongly, but sure.
I'm rooting for Davon. I'd love a Davon win. D and Wes.
I would say better for D. Probably about the same for Wes, and I'm rooting for both of them.
See, I think better for Wes, because I think anytime Wes gets more room to play, it's better for him. Like, I think if somebody can turn people away from their partners, it could be Wes. And I think, yeah, probably neutral to good for D. Although I don't think she's going to maximize any good. I think she's still going to play like Wes's partner.
Right.
Georgia and Hunter.
Yes, I guess. I mean, I guess worse for Georgia and probably worse for Hunter. Probably worse for both.
I think it's really bad. I think it's probably the worst overall for Georgia, because I think without Hunter, like size wise, her against any of these women left is rough, and she's going to be instantly betrayed by Hunter. Like she doesn't even have like.
Right.
A connection with him where at least he couldn't go actively against her when he was tied to her. And then Hunter, yeah. I think, worse for his persona because everyone's going to hate him as an individual, but neutral, question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie and Kyle, we haven't talked a lot about them.
Yeah, I think neutral for both, but I think they're both in good shape.
Yeah, I think this is fine for both of them. I loved how Kyle was like, shoot, I was hiding behind Maddie. Like, nobody wanted to go against Maddie. I mean, Maddie must be huge in a way that's not shown on TV. You know, like, I don't know that it's, like, really coming across maybe because Kyle's so tall that when they stand next to each other, it's, like, not as impactful. Like, if Maddie is standing next to Thea, to Turbo, someone take a screen cap so I can compare. But, yeah, I think same as you. And I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm rooting for Maddie. Yeah, I guess I'm rooting for Kyle.
And then Nani and Turbo, I think worse for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think worse only because they were in such a good spot, so I don't know any type of shakeup could be better, so I guess I'll go worse for both and definitely rooting for both.
And then Ninja and Polly we kind of talked about. So it should be interesting to see how it shakes out. And do you have a prospect of the week?
Yeah, I'll go with Ninja. I think, you know, she stirred her ground with Paulie, got her way, got the correct decision, and, you know, even though Paulie was like the leader of the elimination, still did what you needed to do and won.
Yeah, it's tough because Ninja really annoyed me in the beginning, but like of this episode with the Kara complaints. But I guess you know what? Actually, I'm gonna give it to Theo. I think he strategically. I think Ninja's a close second, right? She got the outcome she wanted. Worked mm-hmm. out. So not to knock her, but I really did like how Theo made good TV and good TV with the hearing, and also got some good information. So I'll give it to Theo.
Perfect.
I don't know that I like have a drinking game one.
Okay, we don't have to add any. There were a few this week. Three burn votes. Tribunals voting. Partners running differently, which now I guess will go away. Two flashbacks to earlier in the season.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's like not that common, yeah. And there was a lot.
No. 17 subtitles and 5 flags at half mast. And one of Jeremy's, the special effects with Turbo.
And yeah, everybody loved Jeremy. He came up a lot in the 5-star reviews. Like, don't worry, everyone. Like, we will invite Jeremy back. He was great. Also, Kyle Picard killed me, our chief party officer. In response last week, we have not declared a punishment. If anybody has any suggestions for when we get I'm sorry, what were the two that we struck, that he struck?
Let me look back.
Date night, TJ.
Well, we kept date night and we kept, so it was food fight and discolored booze and someone mentioning their social media. Which one did we keep?
We kept discolored booze.
Okay, so if there's a food fight or someone mentioning their social media, Kyle gets tarred and feathered in a public square.
Okay, so if anybody has a suggestion of a drinking game punishment, let us know. I wanted to do something like I don't know if this is going to happen, though, but I want to project something into the individual game. Like, whenever we could workshop this, like, whenever somebody, celebrates how like good it is for their game that they're now an individual, you know, maybe it's like whenever someone like rips on their old teammate or something like that, like how Ninja was like, I'm so excited, thank god I don't have to deal with Paulie's shit,
right? Yeah. And then even one step further, if you want to do someone votes for their old partner to go into elimination,
if somebody votes their old partner in, and not as like a burn vote, but like or as a burn vote, you want to do
anyone if they vote. If they vote for them in any for any particular reason.
That's a finish your drink.
All right.
Or two drinks. Like that's a big moment. Ooh. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that yours or did you have another one?
No, I was workshopping on the fly, and I agree, we should kinda like look forecast out. So I like going to individual type things. So yeah, I'll do that one then.
All right. So then yeah, anytime somebody like talks shit about their partner, and in any capacity, but I really mean it, like how Ninja did about Paulie. But I think that could be good because we get Hunter in Georgia, so Baron Davon. That could be a lot of drinks.
Mm-hmm. All right, there we go.
All right, let's run through the 5-star reviews. Thank you guys so much for leaving us so many, and a lot of them shouted out Jeremy, which is awesome. He definitely deserved it. Swagbot Waffle, Megs 514, A Boz 1988, looks. Look, it's Evan D God 63 Johnny V _. Thank you guys so much. We really, really appreciate the support. If you want to show some support yourself, you go to robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We really, really appreciate it. Keeps us going over here. Before we get to social media, we have some old business to take care of. Old/new business. Yeah, remember when we had everyone tweet at Akiva, and then I was like, psych, Akiva's banned from the podcast. Akiva did not take that lying down. Some people have to be like, who's Akiva? Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. Akiva's a great podcaster who can be heard weekly on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, and on his own show, 32 Fans. So he, like 2 hours deep into Renap, launched his own plea to get people to tweet at me to unban him. And I think we got more tweets saying to get him on the show, but I told Akiva that's probably more of a criticism of us than it is on him, that like people who listen to his show are like, who the hell are these people? I don't need to tweet at them. I don't listen to that show. But Rob, so I'm explaining this because Brian needs something explained. Rob mentioned, I wish I had gone back and listened to it to get the full thing. But Akiva was talking about me and the Challenge podcast, and Rob was like, and Brian Cohen. And Akiva was like, well, I don't know if Brian has banned me, like if this is Brian's thing too. And so I tweeted out like, Brian is aware of, if not condones, like I'm not going to put you in this too, but Brian is always aware of my arbitrary secret bans, of which there are many, and they're very petty. Maybe not arbitrary, but they're petty. And then I also added that Brian will certainly need this tweet explained because there's no way he has any freaking idea what we're talking about.
Nope, just missed it. Just shut it off right before.
Yeah. So Akiva be on. And then Rob texted me because I am reluctantly agreeing to go on This Week in Survivor History quiz. My official position is I'm unhappy about it, but Rob knows I don't say no to him, so here we are. That'll be in April. Look forward to that. But he also added, like, and by the way, like, unban Akiva. And I was like, Akiva, like, you told dad on me, whatever. but I have many bans, and I intend to keep them to myself so I don't have to lift them when I don't want to. Akiva, it's hard to coordinate a show with three people.
It is. It is. Usually one of us is out. We haven't been out yet. So keep going strong.
Knock on wood. Finals coming up. But I also like, I don't love 3-person podcasts because then I don't get to say everything I want to say.
Of course, I can't have that.
But Akiva, and then Akiva was like, well, let's go on like the B&B together and like squash this. And I was like, why would I give that ratings goal mine to the B&B? Like, if we're going to squash it, you come on my show. You know, I'm not going to be a guest, two guests. And then I also said, if you think that I would waste a guest appearance by sharing the time, you're crazy.
Yeah, you don't know Allie. Yeah,
I'm not coming on and then further splitting my guest appearance. So Akiva will come on at some point, although he's in Israel. So what a time difference scheduling fun that'll be.
Maybe if you unban it, I'll drop the hammer. I'll reban.
You reban. All right. So that's what's happened. I've unbanned him. Brian has now issued his first ban. This has to be like my seventh ban, at least.
Yeah, I don't think I have a ban. I guess I've been banned from other people. I just haven't done the banning.
Almost everyone is banned from the show by me. But yeah, so Akiva has been rebanned. A little, I guess, maybe for anti-Semitic reasons, Brian, you're holding against him that he's in Israel. I don't know if you want to be on the record for saying that.
Yeah, that was the final nail in the coffin.
It's a time zone issue, though.
Yes, big time zone. You can't have that.
All right, so Akiva has been rebanned. If anybody's still listening to this and wants to tweet at Akiva that he has been rebanned, that'll put him in a tizzy and it'll be really
fun. Does he live there?
For us. Yeah.
Does he live? Oh, how about that?
How about that? All right, so a couple of things from social media. Thank you to digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth. Kind of a light week this week, besides the heaviness that was D and right. Avon and Wes. Kara said, wait. Oh, so this I kind of agree with Kara. The Challenge tweeted, Theo could practically reach out and grab the rings from Kara without either of them jumping, laugh cry emoji. And Kara said, wait, why did I waste all that energy / skill / talent / endurance in leaping my ass off to reach him every damn time to the full length of the rope when I literally could have just stood there and done nothing? Damn it, Kara, why? Oh.
Shut up, Kara. It was a joke.
I don't know.
Jesus
I
Christ.
I agree with that. Like, I mean, I
it's a
it.
Joke.
Sure, but I like, you know, it is kind of annoying. Because Kara, like, here's the thing, and she deserves it most of the time, but Kara never gets her due.
A due in what, credit or?
Just at everything. She never gets it. She's so unlikable that, like, when she does good things, like, we don't even talk about how athletic and great Kara is anymore because it's just, she's so annoying.
Yes, that's the problem. Like, I enjoy it when she brought up, like, if only that we got more money when I won this last time, I'll just have to go do it again. Like, that's the side of Kara actually I like. I like when she's confident in her abilities, not, like, all the other crap that goes around with her.
Well, she's confident in her skill, energy, talent, and endurance.
Yeah.
And this,
Take a joke.
And this is just a nice note of female friendship. D said, our friendship didn't get much screen time, but I credit my sanity to Ninja. You don't get to see the meaningful convos last and genuine care we have for each other. This is why we will always have each other's back. And Natalie responded, how many times did we shed tears around the pool table of heartbreak, laughter, and scheming?
And that was just when Bear jumped on top of it.
That's it. But remember, please tweet that Brian has re-banned Akiva. I need that more than I needed the last tweets.
And please, I've tried to do this when you tweeted out to find like a cool like gift gif of the Seinfeld clip of a grocery store person banning Jerry. So if anyone could do that and put it up there, I would greatly appreciate it.
Wait, I'm dying at you saying gift gif. Have you just given up?
Well, no, it's like that app that like you could put people's faces on like popular gifts.
I see. I've given up. I thought you just couldn't decide between the pronunciations. You're like,
it's like me, ma'am, just saying everything. Tomato, tomato. I say it all. Cover everything. Oh man. All right. That'll do for episode 9, episode 10 next week. You can follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryan_. They can follow you
at @LashTweets.
Until next time, have a good one.